Welcome to Love Rules, the radio ministry of Roxbury Presbyterian Church in Boston. My mom, Liz Walker, was Boston's first African-American television news anchor, but her most important job is what she does right now at RPC, preaching the good news about God's love. The Bible says, above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. How does that work? Join my mom now as she offers us Love Rules from Roxbury Presbyterian Church.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Love Rules. Today's message, fighting words. And our text is from the Gospel of John, the 17th chapter. I'm going to read the first through the fourth verses, and then I'm going to read the 14th through the 17th verses. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. 14. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. As you may already know, I come from the South, and every kid down South was familiar with the phrase fighting words. Someone has been insulted or demeaned, usually in a racial context, and it was time to fight. You had to fight back with your own words. It was a crazy time, not like the nonviolent resistance of Martin Luther King. It was a time when you fought with your words. There were no guns, and in my neighborhood, there were no knives. There were just the words. There were certain expressions you had ready in your own personal arsenal, curse words, or other specific and colorful put-downs, or you could just make a derogatory reference to the parents of your enemy. That could either start a physical fight or that would end one. Either way, this is how you made it through those years. Today's text shows us the need for gathering up our own fighting words in our spiritual arsenal. We are in a battle too. As you know, and Jesus confirms, one of the most effective ways to take on our enemy is by enlisting the word of God. The 17th chapter of John is called the High Priestly, or the Farewell Prayer, that Jesus prays after the Last Supper. Jesus, as you know, prayed all the time. The Bible teaches us that Jesus prayed more than he did anything else. Jesus, who laid aside his glory and took on the mantle of flesh, magnified his relationship with his Father, his complete dependence on his Father, through prayer. Now think of magnifying not as a microscope that makes objects look bigger, but as a telescope that allows you, the long view, to see something as it really is. That's what I mean when I say Jesus magnified his relationship with his Father. So in this text, Jesus starts out, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. This is the longest prayer of Jesus anywhere in the gospel. Most times he went away from the disciples to be by himself, but this prayer is offered aloud as a way for the disciples and for us to hear about Jesus' concerns. The prayer focuses on relationships, that which Jesus has with his Father, and then the one he has with us. Jesus prays that his Father may be glorified and that his disciples and followers, you and I, will love each other, that we be one as he is one with his Father. There's one part of this prayer that I want to focus on just for a few minutes. What distinguishes our best relationship with each other from this relationship with God? Giving God our best is found in verse 14, Jesus' concern about our holiness. 14, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they're not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. And then verse 17, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. I have given them your word. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. The term sanctification is rooted in Latin theology, sanctus, which means holy, and vicari means to make. one of those technical religious words. There are many preachers who spend a lot of time on it, to be separate, to be holy, but knowing this definition means nothing. We read God's word, and I hope you memorize God's word, but that's not enough. You can't begin to understand the holiness of sanctification until you live it out. John Piper calls it a very irrelevant word, but a crucial reality. It means nothing until it becomes real for you. You've been stealing money from your job. One day, the word of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, pricks your conscience, and you stop stealing. That's sanctification. You've been cheating on your husband. It's always kind of bothered you. You pray about it. One morning, something changes inside, and you call your boyfriend and tell him it's over. That's sanctification. You have a habit of talking mean to your mother-in-law. One day you read the scripture, "Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near." It convicts you to change your ways. That's sanctification. It happens because of your growing relationship with Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit by the Word of God. It's not about separating yourself physically from the world, hiding in the church. It's being in the world, but not of the world. The problem is we usually skim the word. We skim the Bible. We say it has power, but we really don't allow it the power in our lives. The problem among Christians, I believe, is often hypocrisy. We say one thing and we mean something else. We need to know that God intends and expects us to have integrity, wholeness, to speak what we mean, to be who we are, to be whose we are. Hypocrisy is a common problem in the church. We act holy. Holiness is the furthest thing on our mind. Until the word becomes flesh in us, it is just a word. Now let's go back to the text where Jesus takes this notion to another level. Verse 15, "I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil one. Deliver us from temptation." The reason we all fall so easily to lies, cheating, hypocrisy, is we don't fight temptation, the evil one, the devil. We don't like to talk about the devil, but Jesus said, there is an evil one. I know. I've spent time with him in the desert. I've seen him in the actions of people, in sin, in sicknesses, in mental disturbance. He is active in principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness, in systems. He thrives in anxieties, fears, pride, and comfort zones. He prowls around like a roaring lion in those spaces, looking for someone to devour. And the devil's favorite word is no. No, I can't change. No, it won't work. No, nothing will get better. Where's the devil? He's in that great, big, old, fat no that's holding us back from spiritual growth. In order to keep the devil out of your business, you need to be armed with everything God gives you. But the most effective weapon, the crucial, relevant weapon for most cases, is God's word, the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit is an aggressive weapon. Now, we talk about all the other weapons when you read Ephesians, and most of them are defensive. The breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, they keep things from us. But the word of God is the sword of the Spirit. It is an aggressive weapon, a weapon of attack. You don't use a sword generally to defend yourself. Your sword is used to thrust, to pierce, to destroy, fighting words. Because the word is imbued with the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ. Everything you need is there. It's all in there. You're ready for battle. I don't know if you ever saw the movie Still Alice. Academy Award winner Juliette Moore plays a relatively young woman with Alzheimer's disease. It was a deeply touching movie to me, but it touched on one of my biggest fears, baby boomers' biggest fears, the loss of our minds, the loss of ourselves. At the end of this movie, her memory's gone. Her husband has left, and this woman, Alice, can barely speak. And she's totally dependent on this one daughter. And I'm not going to give it all away. This is not a spoiler alert. The one who she worried about most, the one daughter who she thought would never stay with her, stays with her. And in this scene, the daughter is reading to her. And she asks Alice, "What is this all about that I'm reading?" Because the daughter's trying to help her. And you can tell Alice is working with all she has, which is, at this point, is not much. She tries in her own way to make her mouth move, yet she can say nothing, but she keeps her eyes on her daughter. And you realize in this one scene that it is her daughter who's doing the work. It is clear that this daughter's not going to run away, and you can see that this relationship somehow transcends Alice's affliction. This must be something in how it is with us and God. We do the best we can, and it never seems like it's enough. But if we can manage to keep our eyes on Jesus, living out God's word as best we can, God's work in us will never stop. That's the best part. The work that I began in you will see itself to completion in Jesus Christ. We are so blessed to have the grace of God work in us and through us. We are so blessed to serve a God who won't let us go. Our job is to allow the Word to become flesh in our lives, to keep the Word of God active and alive in our hearts. Before you read any Word, ask God to give you new revelation, fresh inspiration. That's the discipline of the Word. Ask God to open your heart to receive it. Then you read it, embrace it, and that's how you stay in this proper condition to let the life of Jesus be manifested in you. The truth of the matter is God knows you better than you know yourself. God knows exactly what you can do, what you're going to be stubborn in doing, knows your fears, knows your victories, knows your stubbornness, but God knows what you need. What you need to do is to keep going back to God's word until it becomes real for you and in you. And God will speak to you and through you that way. Here's a word I want you to take with you today. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I'll say it again. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. That's a fighting word. Be blessed.
Thank you for tuning in. Roxbury Presbyterian Church is located at 328 Warren Street, right in the heart of Roxbury. Come worship with us on Sundays at 11 a.m. This is a listener-supported program. We invite you to partner with us and learn the many ways that love rules. Visit us on our website, roxburypresbyterianchurch.org, or call us at 617-445-2116. Love will reign.